Our theme for today is Christ the Healer, and Carol has placed wonderful symbols, including oil and the pitcher. So with that in mind, let us go to this healing story from Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then the man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." And immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and the people, when they saw it, praised God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus as a healer is quite a challenging passage, and it's quite a theme. And I want to point out to you that for Bartimaeus, for this blind man, he'd been blind for a while. And I always face the challenge of being the second call after the doctors, and as a representative of us as a congregation, it is the doctors tell you what they have, and then people kind of look at me like, "Well, what do you got?" I got nothing. But nothing is often quite powerful. And so before we sort of delve into this idea of healing and the different ways we'll think about Bartimaeus, let me point out to you, Bartimaeus had been blind for a while. And Bartimaeus was alone. We know he was the son of it's in Mark, the son of, we looked at Mark on Wednesday. We know he's the son of somebody, but, well, I can say that in all confidence. He was the son of somebody. Let's just go with that. He was the son of somebody. He had family, but Bartimaeus is out there alone. And when he shouts out, "Jesus, have mercy," he's begging. He's at a place where he can't provide for himself. He is dependent on others to have mercy on him. He is dependent on others to give him something of what they can spare. Now, Jesus, by the end of the story, does heal him, but I want to point out that he suffered for quite a while. And in our world today, we would like our pizza in 30 minutes or less and would just assume our healing came as fast. But life is not that way. And God is not that way. And certainly ministers don't have this kind of power. So with some humility, I approach this. And I want to point out to you that the danger of dealing with your struggles is that you look to the crowd to tell you who you are. And the crowd is very excited about Jesus. They're having a pep rally. Calvin, my friend, who is the minister down the road here, we were laughing about racial reconciliation, which has been a big push in the Presbyterian Church. Presbyterians, as a denomination, wanted to read a book about it. And the Pentecostals were going to have a pep rally out on Stone Mountain. So you see the two difference in approaches that we come from. And we just decided we were going to get together, meet together, grow together, and try and do something in this community. And that's brought a lot of healing to me, to try and do something. The crowd is very excited. They're having a pep rally. They are all following Jesus. They are talking about how great he is. And so when a blind man comes up and starts begging, they're going, "No, no, no. We don't have time for you." My home church, where my sister still goes, in South Carolina is that they did a every member canvas and came to my brother-in-law and sister's house and told them for this new glass, they're just sealing in two buildings. They wanted my brother and sister-in-law to donate $45,000 over the next 3 years. And I said, well, what are they going to do with this building? They're going to enclose something. Okay. I told them I voted no, which was very affirming to them because I wanted to know what they were going to do. The crowd is very excited, but pay attention. The crowd has no room for Bartimaeus. He is blind, so they are on their journey with Jesus. They don't have time for Bartimaeus because he can't travel with them. He's in the way. And that's how they define him as, you are in the way. Get out of the way. He's also making noise. Be quiet. Jesus might say something. And then somebody will write it down and there'll be preachers preaching about it for 2,000 years. So just be quiet and stay out of the way. But he won't. He keeps yelling because he's desperate. He's at the bottom of his well, the bottom of the elevator, and he needs mercy. His hope is some money for the day. The crowd sees him as being in the way. Jesus calls him forward. In this version, he gets up. In Mark's version, he runs to Jesus, which we thought was very funny on Wednesday night. The blind man gets up and he's running trying to find Jesus. But we're a sick group, so don't worry about that. Oh, where are you? Sorry, we laugh at strange things. But that's not what you should do. So he's brought to Jesus, and Jesus asked this question. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? I like this because the assumption is not that he wants to get better. Sometimes when you have a problem, the problem is all you know, and that's how you define yourself. When you've had a great loss, that's how you define yourself. It gives you a pass into the world. You have suffered, therefore you can disobey whatever you want to disobey because of the pain that you carry, and so therefore you don't know how to let it go. He might not want to get better. As Buddy pointed out to me, in the life of Brian, there's a guy who is healed of his blindness or healed of whatever his thing is, and now he can't be a beggar anymore. So he doesn't know how to make a living. The assumption is not that he wants to get better. Health is never the assumption. In family systems dynamics, when a family has a struggle, generally families aren't looking for health. They're looking for, how do we just keep doing what we've always done and not suffer so much pain? It's called homeostasis. How do we keep doing the things that we're doing and yet not hurt so bad? Health is not always, very seldom is health the goal. So Jesus asks him, what do you want? Pay attention here to the crowd. Now the crowd is paying attention to him. Jesus can give him to the crowd. The crowd who thought you an obstacle before can get very excited of you, about you. We can set up the Bartimaeus Foundation. They may buy you a house. They may bring you meals every day. We can set that up for you so that they will take care of you, and you can be a focus of this crowd's energy and what they want to accomplish. They can feel good about themselves. Look what they're doing for poor Bartimaeus. If that's what you want, I can give it to you. And he says, no, I just want to see. Healing, in whatever its form, comes from wanting to see. Jesus runs away from crowds because crowds don't see. In this world today, we are debating about public opinion, and we are driven by emotions that are deep and primal. to which Bartimaeus can become the problem and in the way one moment, and he can become the reason for your existence the next. Public opinion sways. My advice to ministers going into churches, especially new ministers, is be careful, because the people who shout Hosanna on Sunday will be shouting crucify him by Thursday. It's not Thursday yet. Just saying. He says, no, I don't want anything to do with the crowd. The crowd's not where I am. I'm looking to you. And I want to see. Perception is the highest form of knowledge. Knowledge is a certainty. And once you think you know, you stop seeing. The kingdom of heaven belongs to children because they know they don't know. And they want to see. Adults, we think we know. I told you the story, but I think it's so funny because it came up again this week that when Abby went to get her driver's license in Florida, they asked her if she wanted to declare her political affiliation. And they said, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And to my 15-year-old, I looked and said, it's on you. I'm not telling you. And she said, what about an independent? And they said, and the lady said, we don't have any independents in Florida. Once you know what group you are, you don't have to see. You don't have to see the person in front of you. The crowd never saw the individual. They didn't see Bartimaeus. He was either against their cause or in their cause or their new cause. But when he encounters Jesus, the crowd disappears. The public opinion disappears. The idea that they had an idea about him disappeared. Kierkegaard wrote, there's no one who has more contempt for what it means to be human than those who try to be professional leaders of crowds. If an individual approaches one of those leaders, the leader doesn't care about him or her. He or she is much too small a thing to care about. Arrogantly, the leader sends them away. There must be at least 100, and if there are thousands, then the leader bends before the crowd, bowing and scraping. That is untruth. There are some who think, according to Kierkegaard, that where truth is, there must be a crowd. For you to be true, everybody must agree with it. When you want to go to a movie, you say, what's everybody watching? What's popular? Because if it's popular, it must be good. He said, but then there's another truth, another idea that where the crowd is untruth. And if you're going to encounter truth, you're going to have to separate yourself from the crowd. To be able to see himself as a beloved child of God, an individual, Bartimaeus had to look to Jesus to tell him who he was, not the crowd. To figure out what his purpose in the world and how he could see it, he looked to Jesus and said, I just want to see. Show me the way. Take me to the river and wash all my illusions away. And that's where healing starts. No matter what our ailments, no matter what our victories, we got to want to see. And with seeing comes clarity, not certainty. Those are very different. May we know the difference. Have mercy on us. Let us pray. God, we dare to come and beg for mercy. We ask for healing, and often in ways that are different than the healing we thought we wanted. God, in this human journey, as spirits on a human journey, help us to see. And then we'll know what to do. And then the kingdom we will be building will certainly be yours. And all those on our way will be gifts, not barriers or causes. Show us the way. as we have come and gathered and pray, as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be the way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.